Thank you, Donovan. Morning, everyone. How are you all? Good? Anybody tired? Yes, I'm very tired. Yeah, it's that time of the year. It's the end of the year, and you know. Yeah. So welcome to all our visitors, and yeah, it's always nice to meet new people. So if there's anybody who's new, please make sure you go and say hello. So this past year, I've had the opportunity to visit a number of Connect groups and just catch up one-on-one with a few people. And it's just been a really encouraging experience just being in the various Connect groups and just seeing what people are doing and how different it is because of obviously the makeup of the groups. And also the focus. So some of them were worship teams, some of them were just their usual Connect groups, some, you know, women's groups, mixed groups. I haven't been to the men's group, I have to say. That's the only one I haven't been to. But yeah, it's just been really good and seeing just the different ways that people worship, the different ways that people pray. And it's very encouraging because you can see you know, the things that we read in the Bible about the early church and how people were, I got to see it. It's actually there. People really believe in the power of, you know, Jesus Christ. They believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. And people are really living their lives with God as a focus. So it's always encouraging. So yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for those opportunities. It was also really good to attend the picnic last weekend. I think there might be a few videos floating around that I think people should delete some things that happened. Some of us were rolling on the grass, not planned, but it was fun all around. It was nice to just see the different conversations that were happening. And yesterday we had the Kwinana Rotary happened, and you know, we had a stall there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. But for those that were there, thank you very much for those who organized and helped. They know themselves. I don't want to miss anyone by naming the people, but they know themselves. So thank you very much for everybody who participated in that and just, you know, just sharing and giving out whatever you gave out. So thank you is really my message this morning. So today we're continuing with our series on answering your questions, and I'll be focusing on prayer, everybody's favorite subject. Andrew Baker said something that I really liked last week when he was explaining how he was going to approach the subject, and he talked about how even though it's saying your answers, answering your questions, it's really that we're giving a response, our own response to the questions. It's not the final answer. The idea is whatever is said up here, you can take that and go and, you know, do a bit more research, spend some time with God and read the word and just get more out of it. So this is more like just, you know, a seed, an opportunity to look deeper into it. So it's not the final answer. So I'll start off with the first question. We do not know whether it's from Fremantle or Kwinana. It doesn't really matter because these questions are quite representative of just people in, you know, in general. Question one, why don't I pray? I'm hesitant and don't know why. As I reflected on this question, I saw embedded within that that there was an appreciation of prayer. The person appreciates prayer and they have a desire to pray. But there's a hesitation, there's an anxiety, there's confusion. So here we see a tension about the misalignment between the desire to pray and actually taking steps to pray. There's a tension there. So there's so many reasons as to why this may happen, but I want to focus on the element of the hesitation because that stood out to me. First of all, there might be a lack of understanding of what prayer is. So that will lead you to hesitate to pray. See, prayer is a two-way communication between us and our Heavenly Father. And it involves us submitting to His will and growing in relationship with Him. If you don't have an understanding of that, you are bound to hesitate to pray. Secondly, fear of getting prayer wrong. Sometimes we may have that fear that I may pray wrong because you think that there is a right or wrong way of doing it. So we can get fixated on making sure we do it perfectly. But the thing is, there is no perfect way to pray. And we know the word says, he who waits for perfect conditions will never plant. So whatever it is you want to do, if you're waiting for perfect, you will never make that move. It's the same with prayer. Fear of rejection or not getting a response. You see, our relationship with significant people in our lives actually shapes how we connect with God, especially our relationship with our earthly fathers. It can affect how we approach God and what we expect to get from Him, if anything. So the question you need to ask yourself is, looking at my own earthly father or whoever the fatherly figure was in your life, could you confidently and boldly approach them and ask for what you needed or what you wanted? What did you get when you tried to make a connection? Did he give you the time of day, or was he too busy to listen? So were you welcomed or rejected? For some people, there is a sense of not being worthy of God's time and attention, because you felt that you were not worthy of your own father's time and attention. For some people, we may think that we're wasting God's time. God has more important things to do than to listen to me. And so we're hesitant. So I'd like you to just reflect on your own relationship with your father figure and how that plays itself out in your relationship with God. I know for myself, during a time of just prayer, the Lord really spoke to me about my own relationship with my father and how that impacted how I saw God, specifically how I thought God would respond to what I needed. So in my relationship with my father, there was inconsistency. I was never really sure whether he would come through with the things that he said he would do. And one day the Lord really showed me that even though I prayed, I wasn't really praying with confidence that the Lord will hear me, or that he would want to hear me, or that he would be consistent with me. So it was quite an interesting experience to go through. So just food for thought for yourself. Hesitation can also come because you feel silly praying. Has anybody ever had that? You feel silly because you're thinking, am I just talking to myself? And it depends on where you are with your relationship with God. But sometimes we can feel like, I feel like I'm the only one talking here. The thing is, there's very few people who've heard the audible voice of God. So a lot of us struggle unless we have a feeling, right? But the thing is, you have to understand how God speaks to you specifically. That's going to give you the confidence, because God speaks differently to different people. So feeling silly while praying, it can feel like it's a one-sided conversation or not even a conversation. But the thing is, prayer is actually a step of faith. So it'll always feel foolish, because faith feels foolish. But it doesn't mean we don't do it. So whatever your reason for holding back from praying, one thing we know is that, like any relationship, our relationship with God will develop to the degree to which we choose to take a step towards Him, to the degree to which we choose to communicate and engage with Him more. So that's the first question. Secondly, how can I start? How can I start? So this question is really about the how. It's about the process. What are the steps to getting started in prayer? Firstly, I'd say you want to acknowledge the hesitation. You want to feel the anxiety and confusion, then give yourself permission and room to take those baby steps. You don't want to ignore the fact that you feel anxious or feel hesitant. You want to acknowledge that, but still make a decision to do it anyway. So don't overanalyze or overcomplicate prayer or God. A lot of us are so much in our head. We think too much. We overthink. And then we end up getting paralyzed and don't do anything. Secondly, understand privilege. Because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, when we commit our lives to God, we now have privilege. Privilege of being called children of God. Privilege of direct access to the Father, which was not the case before Christ. The privilege of access to the Holy Spirit. And the privilege of access to grace and power. If you want to get better at your prayer life, then you have to decide to take advantage of the privilege. Because it is a privilege. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are in a place of privilege. But we don't always take advantage of that and actually say, I can now walk through that door that before I could not walk through. We kind of take it for granted. You also have to let prayer fit into what is natural and unique to you. You know, it's interesting hearing Andrew say that I'm the most un-Pentecostal person. Is that what you said? The most un-Pentecostal person you'll ever meet. And I was thinking, I think I'm the opposite. I have to really, like in a public place like this, you have to really like tone yourself down. But there are some places where I'm with some people, some other women, we just act all crazy. Like, the prayer is, like, extreme, and you're doing all sorts of things. You've seen those people, right? Yes. But you can't always do that in public. You should be able to. In some places you can, but, yeah. So you have to let prayer fit into what is natural and unique to you. We are all different. And you have to embrace that difference and not see it as a flaw, but rather as just the way that's the beauty of God. He's made us all so different, so unique. There's so many, even in this room, there's people from different countries, you know, there's male, there's female, there's different personalities, there's people with glasses, people without glasses. Like, there's so much difference. It's amazing. But that's the nature of God. So bring that in and not see it as wrong. One of our biggest problems as people is comparing ourselves. We compare ourselves to other Christians and fall short or think we are falling short. I remember a story listening to something, you might have heard this, when Joyce Meyer was talking about how she had a neighbor who was just really prim and proper, and she spoke with a very smooth, nice Christian voice. And Joyce Meyer had more of like a more male sounding kind of voice, and she was praying, asking God to make her like the other woman, you know. And the woman next door would grow tomatoes. Joyce Meyer started to grow tomatoes, hers died overnight, you know. And I think God was saying something there. That sometimes we try to be like other people, but God has never asked you to be like somebody else. He just wants you to be you. He made you like that for a reason. There are certain people you'll be able to connect with because of how you are, because of your nature. Our pastor, David Hooper in Port Hedland, one of the things that they used to do as a church is they would have Friday night pizzas and invite the church. And they had this pizza oven. And it was just such a great way of connecting with the church. You know, they would make pizzas and, you know, point of connection. And from that, he created a prayer series. And they called it Pray Like Pizza. You know, he was using something that was natural to him. And just teaching about how there's different pieces to our prayer. Like, you can have different sections, you know, that we have different toppings that we place on our pizza. That when you are having that time with the Lord and praying, there's so many different elements it doesn't have to be just one thing where you're just reading the word or you're just worshiping. It's like, you know, there's different aspects to it. For myself, because I like writing, I write down my prayers. I pray in other ways as well. I pray in my mother tongue. I pray in tongues. I pray, you know, different ways, but I write. I write my prayers. I also write Dear Jesus letters. It's just the thing that I like to do. So I wonder for you, what is that thing? Have you found your thing? And I think if you stop long enough, stop comparing and trying to do it like somebody else, you will find your thing. You'll find your rhythm. Pair prayer with your other favorite things. I have a friend who loves walking. I've tried to keep up. I've not managed. She loves walking, and so she prays and walks. That's what she does. So you can write and pray. You can ride and pray. You can walk and pray. You can drive and pray. Find your thing. Get practical. Set an alarm. You know, one thing that I've observed of the, I never know how to say this right. I don't know if you say the Islamic faith or Muslim faith. Islamic faith, I think. They're very diligent with keeping to their prayer times. Doesn't matter where they are. When it's time for prayer, what I've seen anyway, they stop, they go find somewhere, they put their mat and they pray. It's just kind of like a system. It reminds me of Daniel. Daniel had a system in place where he prayed, I think it was 3 times a day, right? Not everybody can have that kind of structure, but it's a way. So if that is your way, if you're a person of systems, that's something you can get practical and do for yourself when it comes to prayer. Once again, the question is, how do I start? You have to be intentional about prayer because it's not just going to happen. If you want to get better at your prayer life, then you have to decide to be a prayerful person. You have to take that on as an identity. We have so many different identities that we take on. So you have to decide, I am a prayerful person. You pray alone, you pray with others, you pray with your family, you attend prayer meetings, you pray everywhere. You pray at work, you pray in your car, you pray about everything. You pray about small things, you pray about big things. You pray regardless of how you feel because you've decided, I am a prayerful person, being intentional. Finally, to answer that question, how do I start? We want to look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, and I'm reading from the NIV, he says, "Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Looking at this prayer, I believe our prayer has to, first of all, acknowledge that God is about unity. First word is our Father. Unity in the body of Christ. You want to also acknowledge the relationship with the Father, our Father. You want to honor his name that is holy, his name that is powerful, the name that is above every other name. Honor his name. You want to recognize the focus of provision is about daily sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread, daily sustenance. It's fresh. It's faith-filled. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not about accumulation. It's not about worrying about tomorrow. The Bible says not to worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Give us this day our daily bread. It's about knowing, acknowledging that you've got access to forgiveness of sin. And being willing to forgive. So that speaks of relationship. You cannot get away from relationship with people. I know sometimes we wish we could just be alone on this earth. Or is it just me? It's not just me, you too, Andrew. Okay. Where you just don't have to deal with people. Because dealing with people can be challenging. Dealing with yourself can be challenging. But God is about relationships. So when he talks about forgiveness, forgiving others, he's highlighting how important relationships are. You can't get away from it. We have to acknowledge that there is an evil one. Deliver us from evil. We have to acknowledge that there's an evil one who is an enemy of God and God's purposes in your life. So our deliverance matters, our holiness, our purity, those should be part of our agenda when we pray. So when you're thinking back to the whole thing about pray like pizza, think about these elements. Question number three. So there's four questions, but this question number three says, what do I do when I don't get what I've been praying for, even after months? And they said mental health, finances, etc. Another question tied to this was, why does God favor one over the other? Some people pray and it gets granted. Others pray and get ignored. I cannot understand this. And then a common question related to this is about, why do some people get answers for healing and others don't, and their loved ones lose the battle with illness? So these questions are all really about unanswered prayers and the disappointment and disillusionment that comes with that. They're also about relationship with a God who seemingly does not care about his children and favors others. So in answering or in responding to this question, I'll start off by saying this. It's very important to lay a foundation. And here's the foundation. You have to understand the character and the ways of God in order to answer these questions. The question to ask is really whether the idea of God ignoring you or favoring others lines up with who God is. Because we know that God is loving. He cares for you and I deeply. We know that God is just. He treats all his children fairly. We know that God is wise. He knows the best time and way to answer. We only know in part. We know that God is faithful. He does not break his promises. We know that God is near and accessible. He always hears the cry of his people. I don't know if it was here or Fremantle last time when I was sharing about the scripture in Exodus where the burning bush and how God said to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. I have seen the suffering of my people. And then he sends Moses and he says, go. That the sending of people of God is always tied to God and his compassion. It's always tied to him noticing suffering of the people. So we know that God cares about the cry of his people. So having said that, having laid that foundation and put that out of the way, right? We know the character of God. There are still a number of reasons why prayer remains unanswered. Wrong motives. Praying for selfish gains rather than for God's glory or according to his will. In James chapter 4, verse 3, and I'm reading from NIV, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God has a problem with that. So he's saying you will not receive. That's a hard word. Because sometimes we think all we have to do is pray. We commonly say, just pray about it. Or have you prayed about it? But we need to also be saying, have you checked your motives? Do they line up? But generally in conversations, we don't like to say things like that. But it is the word of God. Wrong motives. Secondly, lack of faith. Asking with an unbelieving heart or with doubt. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man should forget it. He will not get anything from God. So God has a problem with us being double-minded. He has a problem with us asking but not having the faith. What does that mean, not having faith? It means I'm asking, but I don't really believe that God can do it. More importantly, I don't believe that God wants to or is willing to do it for me. It doesn't mean that God wants to do everything for me. That's not true. As a parent, you don't want to do everything for your children. There are certain things you will not do for your children, but there's a reason why you will not do those things. But somehow we expect God to do everything that we ask. Inappropriate requests, asking for things that are against God's principles. You have to know what the Word of God says about any issue so that when you go and pray, it's in alignment with His principles. Because if it's not, He will not answer that prayer. If I am a married woman and I pray to God that, you know, you let me get another husband or that particular husband. And if, let's say, he's also married and my prayer is that he would get divorced so that we get married because I really believe he's the man I was supposed to marry. Do you think God's going to answer that prayer? Why not? It doesn't line up. God is a God of order. So sometimes if I'm not married, and I'm praying and I'm getting frustrated that God's not answering my prayer to get pregnant, right? God's not going to answer that prayer. I should not be surprised. And if I do get pregnant and I'm not married, it doesn't mean that God answered that prayer. Because sometimes that's what we do. We go ahead and do things our own way and then we attach God. Now, that's not to say we don't praise God for children. A child is a gift from God. But my point is, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, you have automatically put yourself under that governance. Therefore, you have essentially said, I'm falling under these things that, or these commandments or whatever God desires. I'm lining up with that. It's like when somebody becomes a citizen of a country, right? You take an oath and say, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. If you do something that doesn't line up with that, something will happen to you. You either get sent to prison or sent out of the country if you're not from that country. Alignment. And then another reason is impatience. Sometimes we are impatient. So it's not that God has not answered your prayer. If it's in alignment with His word and His will, it's that you still need to wait. Sometimes God makes us wait to build our character. And it feels painful. Can you imagine if, let's say, you were, I don't know, filthy rich, and you've got a 12-year-old, and you decide to buy your 12-year-old's top range, I don't know what cars are out there, Maybach. That's the car that I want. Maybach. I think it's 600,000. Anyway, can you imagine you decide to do that for your 12-year-old? Is there anything wrong with that? No? Who said that? Nothing wrong with that? Oh, lots wrong. What is wrong with that? They're not ready. They cannot handle. They don't have the capacity to navigate that. So you're setting them up for failure. God is a father. So there's some things He's not going to give you because you're not ready. You don't have the capacity and you're not going to be able to navigate those things. So it will feel painful, it will feel unfair, it will feel like he doesn't care, but he actually really cares. That's why he's doing it. As a parent, you probably would have heard yourself saying, I'm doing this because I love you. I don't know if that's what you say to your children. It's because I love you, that's why I'm doing this painful thing. That's the parents. In Luke 18, we see the story of the widow, the persistent widow. This widow went to a judge. This judge was known as the unrighteous judge. But she goes to him and says, I need your assistance to deal with this adversary of mine. The judge got annoyed because she kept coming back. But this scripture teaches us about the importance of persistent prayer and unwavering faith. Never giving up, even when answers seem delayed. Jesus explained, if even an unjust judge finally gives in to persistence, how much more will God, who is loving and just, hear and answer his people when they cry out to him day and night? There is something that we need to understand about God, and that is God is good. All the time, God is good. So that's how we should interpret our lives. Whatever happens in our lives, you have to think God is good. So even though I don't understand this mess that I'm in, God is good. So the person asked this question of, what do I do? And here's the response. Understand that your prayer life cannot be based on whether or not God has answered your prayer. Where I only communicate with God if I know I'm going to get something in return, specifically the thing that I asked for. Check in to see what your motives are. Prayer has to be based on the word of God and the character of God. You have to be persistent like the widow. You have to pray about your disappointment. Sometimes we pray about the big things, but we think our emotions are to be dealt with people only. But God wants to know. If you look at the Psalms and you look at how David related to God, the disappointments are on display. His feelings. I think he wore his heart on his sleeve when it came to God. We are to pray about everything. Everything means all things. Take all things to God. There's nothing too small or too big. Stop looking for a supernatural intervention when there's a natural solution to your problem. Some answers to your concerns are natural and practical. And God instructs us throughout the book of Proverbs to use wisdom. So you look at the area of physical health. Sometimes we're praying for a breakthrough in our physical health, but we're not willing to exercise. We're not willing to eat living foods. We will not eliminate foods that trigger insulin spikes. You name it. The list is there. We're not willing to remove toxins. We look at the area of mental health. We're praying and feeling like we're not getting a breakthrough. Have you sought out help of a mental health professional? We look at the area of finances. We feel like God doesn't want to help me in the area of finances. I'm struggling. God is not hearing my prayer. Are you budgeting? Are you saving? Are you investing? Are you being generous? Are you having other sources of income? So really, when we pray, our prayer should be for strength to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, patience. Long-suffering. That's really what our prayer should be, because God has given us everything that we need. Now we've got to exercise those things. Learn to share answered prayer with others, no matter how big or small. Have conversations about what God is doing in your life. That's going to build that muscle. Last question. How can I maintain a consistent prayer life? For many years, I struggled with this. I wanted to pray, and I did pray daily, but I was not consistent with the type of prayer that I now call doing business with God. That's what I've called it, doing business with God. And for me, doing business with God is about coming to that place, making the time to sit down, obviously starts off with praise and worship, but there comes a time where I sit and listen and allow God to search me. You know, the word says, search me and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way and lead me in the way everlasting. So as I sit there, I'm looking for the Lord to show me, is there areas of my life that need healing? Is there areas of my life where I need to forgive people? The Lord's not going to put a finger on stuff when you're too busy to make time to sit down and do business with him. In 2014, I developed this illness that, you know, nobody knew what was wrong with me. And it forced me to seek God and go on the longest fast I've ever gone on. But as I took the time to do that, I realized that God was always available to hear me, to be with me. But I was not at a place where I would stop and be still long enough to know that he is God. Consistency is not based on feelings or motivation, which are fleeting. It's based on a decision that you make. But the decision requires that you have a strong enough why. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 8, it says, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Just expecting to get money. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Even in his brokenness, his disability, his helplessness, his discouragement, this man kept going back to the temple gate, day in and day out, seeking assistance for his situation. The place where people went to meet with God, the place of worship, he went back there. It was in that place of daily, consistently showing up that he had the encounter that would change the trajectory of his life. It was in that place of daily, consistently showing up that he experienced Peter's helping hand, that he experienced healing and restoration, and he developed an upright posture. No more lying down begging. And it was at that place of consistently showing up that he experienced a new relationship with the temple courts, where he now no longer just sat at the temple gates. He was now going in and joining in with everyone and praising God with a different posture from a different angle. I'll get you to stand up, church. I'll finish off with this. There's a reason why we must dare to believe there is a God. Dare to have faith and dare to pray. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Here is why we must dare to pray. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The question is not whether we should pray or not, but rather, does God exist? Because if he does, then we are to worship him. We are to connect with him. We were made for relationship. You cannot separate yourself from relationship with God. And prayer is the vehicle through which, the vehicle that God has chosen for that connection. So with every eye closed, I just want to give people an opportunity. People who have never prayed that prayer of surrender, that prayer, we call it the prayer of salvation, where you recognize that you were made for relationship with God and you need Him. So I'm just going to get you to just pray after me. It says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. So if you could please pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. I want an authentic relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every eye still closed, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, could I just have a show of hand? You prayed it for the first time or you were rededicating? Thank you, Stuart. I will have a chat with you afterwards. You know, it says that heaven rejoices when anyone reconnects with the Father. So right now we know that heaven rejoices because of that hand that was bravely lifted up. So Father, we thank you. I just want to pray. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear about your word, to understand prayer, to plant those seeds that allow us to go and explore more that relationship. I pray, Father, for everyone in this room, that as they go away, Lord, they would go and do business with God. That every single person will make the time, no matter how busy we are, that we would develop the habit, even if it's 5 minutes to start with, develop the habit to have that appointment, to say, I'm going to sit or stand or write, whatever you choose to do because you are unique. I pray that we would make the time, that we would prioritize time with you, Lord, to pray. And in our prayer, that we would pray like pizza, that in our prayer, that we would give you praise, that we would acknowledge you and tell you who you are in our lives, that we would reflect on our lives, that we would write down the names or mention the names of the people that we need you to intervene on their behalf. Intercession. That we would ask for forgiveness as we acknowledge the Father. That we would search our hearts and see if there's any offense in our hearts. That we would decide to forgive. That is our prayer today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. If you've got any prayer needs, specifically, if you feel like you would like prayer around prayer, please come to the front and the leaders will pray for you. Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. Your